Interest rates have become especially interesting this week. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. This is the week interest rates moved sharply higher in America. One benchmark, the yield on the government's 10-year note, is up at 2.94%. Could 3% be far behind? Market players have got it into their heads that the weak patch in the stock market is over for now and sold bonds to buy more stocks. But personalities are also at play. Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, says the new president of the Wall Street Fed, the powerful Federal Reserve Bank of New York, is doing some straight talking.
There are only three Fed officials that carry much weight with traders. That's the chairman, the vice chair, and the president of the New York Fed, because they're enormously influential. John Williams was selected and approved to take over the New York Fed this summer. He had a press conference in Madrid with financial journalists, and he, as is his style, was just remarkably forthright. Traders were, I think, a little disturbed by some of what he had to say.
Yeah, he was talking in part about he's not buying into this idea that productivity growth justifies greater economic growth in America. But that, when you hear it, what do you take from that?
Here's the thing. If there is a shortage of workers, which the Fed believes there is, the unemployment rate is very, very low, then the productivity is really the only outlet for faster growth without inflation. So if he doesn't believe, which he doesn't, that productivity can accelerate, then the Fed's job is to slow the economy to a crawl. They have to take GDP growth down to about 1% a year. Right now, the economy's growing at about a 3% rate. And actually, if you listened closely to what he said, part of the Fed's goal is to increase the number of the unemployed over the next 3 or 4 years by 1.5 million people. To do that, he suggests they should lift the federal funds rate, which is at 1.75% now, to 3.5%. And that's where the 10-year note comes in. One of the reporters said, well, doesn't that mean you'll invert the yield curve, which is something that would normally be a sign of recession, that is short-term interest rates higher than long-term interest rates? He said, no, I don't think the yield curve will invert, because I think long-term yields are going to rise as well. The implication, if Fed funds will be 3.5, then long-term rates should be 3.75 or 4%, and that was worth about 0.1% of the sell-off in 10-year notes, which, of course, is the benchmark for, among other things, the mortgage rates you get when you buy a house.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
There is confirmation just now that the feds are fining Wells Fargo Bank $1 billion for disputed car insurance and mortgage charges. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau pushed for this. Consumer groups say this cuts against the general trend where the Trump administration has been going light on the financial services industry. Just as you count on Marketplace for reliable, in-depth news and information, we're counting on listeners like you to invest in what we do. The more people who support Marketplace, the more that we can do to raise economic intelligence across the country. You'll reap the rewards every time you listen, knowing that you're helping Marketplace make people smarter about the economy and why all this matters. And here's the thing, your donation now will be matched dollar for dollar when you give today, thanks to a generous challenge from our friends at Candida. Become a Marketplace investor at marketplace.org, and thanks for making a difference. Critics of the president's steel and aluminum tariffs say they can hurt companies that use those materials, such as appliance manufacturers. Still, one major American appliance company could still come out ahead, given another U.S. tariff on foreign washing machines. From the Marketplace Hub at the IdeaStream newsroom in Cleveland, Adrian Ma explains.
If you own a Whirlpool washing machine, there's a good chance it was made in Clyde, Ohio. That's where a massive plant spins out 20,000 of them a day. But if you're thinking of buying a washer, beware. The price may be going up. That's because in January, President Trump imposed a tariff of up to 50% on imported washers. Whirlpool execs were so excited that the same day, they announced 200 new hires. But then, just 6 weeks later, a different set of tariffs.
It'll be 25% for steel. It'll be 10% for aluminum. And it'll be for a long period of time.
Not great news for a company that sells products that are basically big metal boxes. Ned Hill teaches economic development at Ohio State University.
When we look at steel, construction is about 40% of demand. Automotive is in second spot, and appliances are in third spot.
The import tax on washing machines gives Whirlpool the chance to raise its prices while still undercutting foreign competitors like Samsung and LG. But Hill says a broad steel and aluminum tariff works against that.
This may wipe out their cost advantage.
These tariffs on steel come around, you're just like, ugh.
David McGregor follows Whirlpool as an analyst at Longbow Research.
On the one hand, they're the beneficiary of a tariff program from President Trump. On the other hand, they're the victim of a... The victim's probably a bad word, but you know what I'm saying.
He's saying Whirlpool may see its cost go up, but the tariff on imported washers will probably make up for that. And if consumers pay more as a result, McGregor says maybe they should. He says for years, cheap foreign imports have kept prices for the appliance artificially low.
I would argue that the consumer's been buying them for less than they really were worth for a long time.
Maybe so. But the timer's already ticking for the U.S. tariffs on foreign washing machines, which are scheduled to end in 2020. In Cleveland, I'm Adrian Ma for Marketplace.
And it's April 20th, 420, and I'm not even going to engage the competing online theories for why the date is connected with getting stoned, but it is what we call a news peg. Today, I talk with a man who advises Wall Street on the cannabis industry, where no big national brands have yet coalesced. Compare that to ethanol and water, just add mainly branding, and you get Grey Goose or Absolut. If you missed that on the air, it's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer is Brian Allison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.